Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
And we ask you to do that this morning, just to speak into our hearts and lives that word which comes from your heart and that we need to hear and receive at this time. Give us the grace to respond to all that you say so that we can really see the outworking and the fulfillment of all that you're calling to us to see accomplished in the name of Jesus amongst us. Amen. Okay, be seated. As usual, the purpose of the keynote is to have a word from the Lord to which we can then respond, not just this morning, but in the coming days. I expect Phil told you yesterday about something about our trip in France. It was a strategic time, an important time. But the son of the pastor that we were praying apostolic anointing and blessing over, Matt Marvan, was a former student here at the college. And I've known him, therefore, for many years, because I suppose it was probably about eight or nine years ago that he was a student. And he is married to Sarah, who I've known even longer than that. They have three children. And Matt has been part of the staff, the team at the church there, but he's had a national and even international ministry leading worship, especially among younger people, younger believers. They're an anointed couple. And they've just made a big step of faith. And they both wanted to talk to me about it because it's similar to what I've had to do in my life, actually two or three times. But on this particular occasion, they've stepped out of everything they've known, all the support they've got, all the financial support they've got. They've moved to the city of Lyon, which is about 2 hours away from Dijon, where they know nobody and there's no support because they believe God wants them to begin a new ministry. And when you've got three children, we had three children when we first had to step out like that, you've got no visible means of support or anything, it's exciting because you have to depend upon the Lord for everything. And God has just opened up the way for them to use a big house that has far more room than they need as a family, so they will be able to gather some other people that will support them in the ministry. Just as God opened up for us a house before we came down to this area in the Hyde. And it was so exciting to share with them the beginning of this adventure. And it was an adventure. And God taught me right at the beginning, I'm your father, you're my son. It's always the job of the father to provide for the son, not the son to provide for the father. So if you have any need, never look to man, always look to me. And in all the years that we lived as a community, which was about the first half of the existence of Kingdom Faith, we didn't have visible means of income apart from whatever God supplied through my traveling ministry, and of course I was traveling a lot more then, and also book royalties. But everything else had to be provided. And we had, the community grew to about 60 people, plus all the others that we were helping and ministering to. And in all that time, we never ever were one penny in the red. We never ever had to go to the bank. If we bought anything, we paid cash. Which is why when we bought this place, we paid cash. Because we were still in that kind of community mindset. No going to the bank or getting a mortgage or anything like that. And we found that if our trust was in the Lord, then there would always be the provision for everything we needed. And one of the key scriptures at that time was, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. So if money was always tight, it was ever tight, if we suddenly had some challenge put before us and the money wasn't there, because we didn't have any money stacked away anywhere, but if there was any financial challenge and it seemed that the money wasn't there, the conclusion was obvious. We're not seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. Something was lacking. Not the finance, but something was lacking among us. And that would always send us to prayer. Okay, what are you saying, Lord, in this situation? And at different times, it could be different things. It might be, well, there's something I want to do in terms of your relationship sometimes. Maybe something I want to do in terms of faith. But whatever it was, God knew exactly what he was doing. In other words, we didn't see the release of what we needed because there was something he wanted to fix. So, you know, I was told the other day that we're just in a place of financial challenge at present. So my immediate reaction, you see, every time I hear that is, okay, Lord, what are you saying? Because we can go to the bank, but actually God doesn't call us to go to the bank. He calls us to go to him. We look to the bank to help us over a period, but actually, we shouldn't really need to do that. Something is lacking if we need to do that. Are you understanding me? So, I've been saying to the Lord these last few days, okay, Lord, what are you saying? Now, God is always so gracious, isn't he? He's so merciful. He didn't say, well, this is wrong, or anything like that. What he's done is to take me to Hebrews. And we're going to have a look at the seven lettuces this morning. In Hebrews, there are seven things that God says, let us do. Let us do together. And we're going to just look briefly at those seven things, and we can see how, at this moment, we're responding to these seven things, because come this time next week, we'll have at least 42, perhaps 45 students here, and are we ready to receive them? What have we got to impart to them? We've got a lot of words, but we want to impart some dynamic of the Spirit. We want them to come into something that is really going to impact their lives that very first week, isn't it? Now, before these seven lettuces, let us, there's a command. But before there's the command, there's the two opening chapters. Now, there's no time to go through all this in detail. But the two opening chapters are all about Jesus. The fact that he came, shared our humanity, shared our weakness, came as our brother, sacrificed his life for us, made it possible for us to become part of the kingdom, and so on. All that's contained in the first two chapters. You can read that afresh some other time. But then at the beginning of chapter 3, it says, therefore, holy brothers, therefore, in the light of all that Jesus has done for us, Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, and that's the calling that all of us have, a heavenly calling. We don't have an earthly calling. We have a heavenly calling. So the kingdom of heaven will be seen in our lives here on earth. Here's the command. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess he was faithful to the one who appointed him. Remember last week I was saying that I think the thing that God values most in believers is faithfulness. And this is, of course, what he sees in Jesus. But here's this command, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Easy to be distracted, isn't it? Onto circumstances. He doesn't say fix your thought on church, or even fix your thoughts on Israel, or fix your thoughts on your ministry. But he says, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Jesus maintains the focus. Jesus is the focus. The church is going to prosper. We're going to be able to fulfill our call to help everybody understand the significance of Israel to the church, to believers today, and every other aspect of our ministry, including what we do here with the students in this coming year, all that will fit into place if our thoughts are fixed on Jesus, not on ourselves, not on our ministries, but on Jesus. Now, it's easy to say that, it's easy to read it, but if you just begin to unload that in your thinking, you think, well, how focused is my mind really on the person of Jesus? Not just on my spiritual knowledge, not on what I know about him, or about his word, but how fully is my focus on him? So, I think these seven let us phrases all help us to see the outworking of what it means to have your thoughts fixed on Jesus. Are we all there? Okay, so here we have the first one. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Everything is going to flow from here. So the first of these let us is in chapter 4. Therefore, verse 14, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So if our thoughts are fixed on Jesus, we know what Jesus has done, we know what he has accomplished, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess. So is our faith in Jesus or in the bank? See, this is very, very practical. Faith is intensely practical, isn't it? See, well, in our thinking, where do we look for what we need? So, the scripture says, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess, not be distracted from faith in Jesus. Our faith is in Jesus, because everything is in Jesus. Every need is met in Jesus. All our provision is in Jesus. All our life is in Jesus. Now, we can think we're doing that, but then if we think we're doing that, but alongside that, we're doing something that is not actually the same as that, then there's some sort of double-mindedness here. You getting me? We're in a very practical situation, right? And that's always the case, but our God is intensely practical. That's why he became man, just to show how intensely practical he is. Very quiet in here this morning. Okay, so let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, our faith in Jesus, or in Jesus. Then the second of these things is in verse 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, because our faith is in Jesus, and the one sitting on the throne is Jesus, so that we may receive mercy. If anything is wrong, if we're not sort of really in that place of faith, of expectation where God wants us, he doesn't tear us apart or tell us off. He is merciful towards us, but there we find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. So the need is met through his grace, because we've approached him on his throne, where he's reigning in majesty, glory, triumph, victory. Are we all breathing here? So we find grace to help us in our time of need. Thank you, Jesus. Of course, when faith operates, the one thing you never do is try to work out how he's going to do it. Because actually it's none of your business. How God meets the need is none of your business. That's his business. But when we trust him, he has the obligation to fulfill our trust. Can you see that if our faith is in him, God cannot say no. He cannot say no, or he would not be true to himself. He would not be true to his word. Because he says, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer if you believe. So if he wasn't to do that, the whole universe would go into chaos, because it's sustained by his word as well as created by his word, and he wouldn't be true to his word. So when we're really operating in that place of faith, then, boom, God is going to meet the need. He has to. It's not a question of will he, won't he, is he going to, isn't he going to, when is it going to happen? How is it going to happen? It has to happen. Because he's faithful. Hallelujah. Now for the third of these things, you see, we go on to chapter 10. Verse 22. Let us draw near to God. Why? Well, you see, out of those first two chapters, we keep coming across this word, therefore. So in verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to come to the throne of grace, to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near. You see, it's the same thing. Put your focus on your thoughts on Jesus. Draw near to him. Come with confidence to the throne of grace. Draw near to him with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. You see, this is the mercy. Because sometimes, when we're in a position of need or challenge, it is because either something is wrong or we've done something wrong. either at a personal level or a corporate level, depending on which level you're thinking about in relation to God. But you see, God never rips us off when we've done something wrong. He forgives us and he says, okay, now let's address the situation and put it right. He never goes back over the thing and say, oh, you know, if only you'd done this and this, and if you'd done that, and you shouldn't have done this, and you shouldn't have done that. He's always intent on getting us into what is right. He doesn't keep mulling over whatever is wrong. So even if we've made mistakes, or even if we've been disobedient, even if we haven't used finances in the right way, or whatever it may be, because this is not just about finances, it's about everything. But whatever it is we have done, God says, okay, well, forget that. That's the past. Whatever failings you have in the past, I forgive you. This is what the mercy is all about. This is what the blood is all about. This is what being sprinkled by the blood. But let's address the situation now and get everything right. Let's put it all right. So, here in this verse, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Doesn't matter the nature of the sin or the failure or whatever has gone on. But you see, it does show us that sometimes God allows us to be in a position of need, not just financially, maybe health-wise, maybe something else, but whatever it is, to get us thinking, to actually encourage us to face situations in our lives that perhaps we've been aware of, but we haven't really faced. It's just like a calling card from God, and he's saying, okay, come on, enough, that's far enough. Now you need to address this situation. Now we need to put this right. I'm not beating you, I'm not punishing you, I'm not scolding you. I'm saying, come on, it's time to make adjustments. It's time to change. So that can be a sort of a wake-up call. Yeah, Lord, you must be saying something to us in this. Because God speaks to us in everything. You have to understand that God speaks to you through his word, he speaks to you by his spirit, but he also speaks to you by all the events of your life, all of them. The voice of God is to be heard in everything that happens to you. There's always a word from God, no matter what your circumstances. So then we have in verse 23, the next one. Let us hold unswervingly, let us never get diverted away from the hope we profess. Now, faith is all to do with now. Hope is to do with the future, isn't it? So let us hold unswervingly to the hope we have that all the promises that God has given us are surely going to be fulfilled, no matter what the present circumstances look like, because he is faithful. So let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So it's unthinkable that God would ever be unfaithful towards us. If we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, everything must be added to us. Must be. Has to be. Hello? So, then we go on to the next one in chapter 12. We have all the catalog of the great heroes of faith from the Old Testament in chapter 11. And then chapter 12, therefore, there it is again, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us. So when I heard about, I mentioned this financial thing simply because, I don't want to focus on that, but I mentioned it because this is what got me thinking and praying along this line. My reaction is, Lord, is there anything I need to throw off? And the Lord said, yes. So I've thrown it off. Now, sometimes what you throw off does not always seem bad. It might not always be sin, because look what the scripture says. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So there can be sin that entangles you. And when you're in a position of challenge or need, God can speak in that situation. It's not that God makes us sick in order to purify us. But if we're sick, he uses the opportunity to purify us, to actually do a refining work in our lives. And you will have known many people that have gone through a period of serious sickness, and they come out at the end of it thankful for what God has worked in them during that process. But it doesn't mean that God wanted them to be sick. He would much prefer to have taken them through the same process without being sick, you know, to do the same thing in their lives. But you see, sometimes the things that hinder us can be not sinful in and of themselves, but they're not helpful. Remember what Paul says about this, that, you know, some things, that they're not bad, but they're not helpful. And sometimes we can be putting our focus, attention, either in our lives personally or corporately, on things that may not in and of themselves be wrong, but they're not helpful. And they're actually, therefore, distracting us. They're taking time, they're taking attention, they're taking perhaps some of our resources, and we're actually misusing and misapplying them. In the sense, not necessarily sinfully, but we're not putting what God has made available to us in terms of anointing as well as provision. We're not using it in the fullest, best possible way. So instead of something being a blessing to us, it becomes a hindrance to God's best purposes in our lives. Anybody understanding what I'm saying here? So, you see, let us throw off those things. But if there is sin, let us throw off the sin. Not just regret it, not just get on our faces and wet the carpet with tears because we've messed up. God says, throw it off. So you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. His righteousness. Not just what is right in our eyes. So, I've thrown off something. Simply because God spoke to me and said, well, that does not seem to be wrong in itself, but it's distracting you. Throw it off. So, I have. Now, that's not because why we're in a position of need or anything like that. You see, God speaks to all of us if we're open to hear what he's saying in situations like this. So, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And here's the next one, number 6. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Throw off those things because you're in a race. And we know that scripturally, if we're in a race, we run to win. And if you want to run to win, you're not going to carry any unnecessary burdens. I mean, you look at these athletes, they're dressed in as little as possible. And they certainly aren't carrying any backpacks because they're running to win. So let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. And then we have in the next verse the seventh of these let us phrases. Let, we started with the command, fix your thoughts on Jesus. So here, the scripture says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Fix your eyes on the author and perfecter of your faith. Why? Because all faith comes from him. He is the author of faith. Now, you see, Jesus said again and again to people, didn't he? According to your faith, it will be done to you. Right. Now, supposing you don't see happening what needs to happen. Here is a crisis of faith. It's always a crisis of faith. Now, that crisis of faith may be caused by some of these other things we've got to throw off and all the rest of it. But faith is faith in Jesus. It's faith in who he is. It's faith in what he's done. Faith is not a commodity you have. You know, people sometimes say, I have such faith. And I want to say, where do you have it? Does it itch? You know, you can't say, I have faith, because faith is something you do. It's not something you have. It's something you express in your life. So, if my eyes are fixed on Jesus, the author of my faith, then he is going to be able to author in the situation where I am the faith that I need. And if that means I need a level of faith to operate in my life that's beyond anything I've known before, then he will perfect my faith. He will increase the level of my faith. And in fact, this is how he increases the level of faith, by putting before us challenges that cannot be met in any other way except by faith. And so we grow stronger in faith, and that means we grow stronger in our dependence upon him. So God is always, you see, drawing us closer and closer to himself, causing us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, causing us, therefore, in our thinking, because that's where we began, fix your thoughts on Jesus, in our thinking, and therefore in our attitudes, and therefore in what we say, and therefore in what we do, everything focused on trusting Jesus, on being living in dependence upon him. And the scripture is so clear that if we live in dependence on him, he will never fail us. Now, I've just jotted down these seven things that the scripture says, so just listen to them, one after another. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. If we profess it, let us hold on to it, not be distracted from it. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, because there we will find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. He will not fail me. He will fulfill his word. He will fulfill his promises. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, because he is faithful. Let us throw off everything that hinders and any sin that entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of their faith. Next Monday, over 40 students will come into a people that are living these seven lettuces. Or that's what needs to happen, doesn't it? So, you know, it's not that God is whipping us, beating us, scolding us, and saying, this is wrong, and this is terrible, and that. It's not like that. I'm not a mechanic in any way. But if something is slightly not right with an engine, I believe it won't function, or it won't function properly or effectively. So if you're like me, you take it to somebody who does understand engines. And they've got all this electronic stuff these days, don't they? They plug something in and it tells them immediately what's wrong and where it's wrong. They've still got to put it right. But you see, the engine might be working, but it's not running smoothly, not running sweetly, not running most efficiently or effectively. And you can go on like that, but you think, well, wait a minute, this is not the best. And God's purpose all the time is to have us living in the best. So, you see, I believe that what he's doing this morning, at least I trust what he's doing this morning because this is what he told me to do, is to encourage us. He just wants to encourage us. Well, all these things are not new to you. You can do all these things. Because what the writer of the Hebrews is saying is, let us do these things. Come on, let us do these things together as the body of Christ. Let us do these things. Let us make sure that this is where our focus is. Because you see, if this is our focus, all those who come amongst us next week, this will be their focus. Right from the start. Because they were focused where we're focused. Hallelujah. And, you know, I suppose you've heard me say this many times, and some people find this difficult, because I've said, if you speak about need, it shows that you believe in the need. If you speak about provision, then that's a demonstration that you believe in the provision. And some people don't like that. They say, well, but we should be able to express our need. You know, to actually speak about it. I say, yes, but who to? You see, if you express need, the only person or people that you express the need to are those who you're looking to meet the need. There's no point in talking about need to somebody who can't meet the need. Huh? Now, sometimes we look to other people to help us because we have some kind of need and they're able to help us. So you go to the person that you think can help you and you express the need. But there's no point in talking to a whole lot of other people about that need if, in fact, you know that they're incapable of meeting the need. This is obvious, isn't it? Help me, yes. So if we have a need, who do we go to express the need? If our focus is on Jesus, He is the answer to the need, isn't he? Now, because we love one another, there can be other ways in which we can serve one another, encourage one another, help one another. And it's good to be able to go to someone, can you help me? One or two of you have been up in my loft because I do not have the agility to get up in the loft in our new house. My wife is, I could get up there, but my wife is scared that I'd never be able to get down. And she loves me enough to want me to come down and not just spend the rest of my life up in the loft. So, well, you see, we can love and help one another because there's a little need. But, you know, when it comes to what we need in terms of our healing and our provision and all those kind of things, where is our focus? Our focus is on Jesus. And just finish with this. When we put our focus on Him, this is the key. So if you don't get this, you'll miss the rest. Let us come. Let us. Let us. Let us. We're doing something before we expect Him to do something. Because the measure you give is the measure you get back. And you reap what you sow. So there's a sense in which all seven of these let us are different ways of sowing. And all that the scripture says God will do are His promises for the reaping. So if we do these things, we're sowing spiritually in the way we need. And then God, in His wonderful love, will provide, will heal, will bless, will do whatever the situation demands. Because His purpose is always that we should prosper in His will. And in His ways. So all I suggest to you is that you do it this time is, you know, during the course of this week is just to take these seven things you've got them there in your Bible. You might just want to write them out like I have. Just go down them and do them. Just sort of see how fully you are doing, how fully your heart is engaged in doing them. And then all that God promises as a result is bound to happen. Because the scripture doesn't say, let the apostle do these things, let the senior pastor do these things, but let all us believers do these things. Is there an alleluia anywhere? Come on, let's stand up and just thank the Lord. Oh, isn't He so good? But just remember, all this comes out of the first two chapters of what Jesus has done for us in becoming our brother. Hallelujah. So we thank You, Lord. Come on, let's praise Him. Let's praise the Father for Jesus. Thank You, thank You, thank You, Lord. Thank You, thank You, thank You, Lord. Papara sandaria leto bakarasata bakarasutri sandaria leto bakarasanta. Let us, let us, let us, let us. Popapakala sandaria leto pakala sitri santum. O paparasaria leto pakala sitri sandaria leto pakala santum. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So let's just take each of them in turn. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Just pray that through. Just keep speaking to the Lord. Don't just think about it. Tell the Lord this is what you want to do. You want to hold firmly to the faith you profess. Just ask Him to show you any way, and perhaps you're not doing that, or you haven't been doing that. There may be some area of your life where you're not really holding firmly to faith. You may be in 90%, 95% of your life, but there's the 5%, and God says, come on, you're not holding firmly to your faith in this area. Let him show you that, now or subsequently, but let Him show you that and say, Lord, I want to hold fast to my profession of faith concerning every situation and every circumstance in my life. I don't want to believe for some things, but not for other things. I want to be in that place of faith for everything. Every situation in my life. I want to be a man of faith, a woman of faith. I want to be the person of faith you've called me to be. And I want to hold firmly. I don't want my faith to be tentative. I want that boldness of faith. I want that strong, firm faith in You. Hallelujah. Not just in Your provision, but in You. Not just in Your healing, but in You. Thank You, Lord. You want my faith to be in You. Not faith in provision or faith in healing, but faith in You. For everything. For everything, Lord. That Your call upon my life will be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. Come on, just test your own heart. Say, yes, am I really confident when I pray? Do I really believe? As I approach the throne of grace, I don't just throw prayers at God. I approach His throne. I come before Him. I draw near to Him. Hallelujah. That throne of grace where I receive mercy and find grace to help me in my time of need. Hallelujah. You might want to say, Lord, forgive me for just sort of throwing prayers at You instead of really approaching You. Instead of really drawing near to You, instead of coming into that heavenly embrace with You. So the third one, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Thank You, Lord, You always want to give me the best. Thank You that You're a God who doesn't know how to give the second best. You can never give anything imperfect. You can never give anything less than the best. So thank You, Lord, that out of Your love for me as Your child, You always want to give Your best. You want to invest Your best in me. You want to provide the best for me. You want to meet a need in my life in the best possible way. Lord, that's the faith I want. That's the faith I need. Thank You that You're the God who doesn't want me simply to get by, but You want me to supply the faith. You want to supply the best. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Yeah, come on. All those promises He's given you, all those promises He's given Kingdom Faith. Never mind what circumstances say, we know what God has said. Amen. There's 5,000 households, yes? That's part of the hope He's given us here. Oh, thank You, Jesus. The multiplication, seeing at least 200 added to the church this next year, and perhaps far more than that, But come on, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Yes, 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 yes. God is going to increase our sphere of influence. That's what he said. He's going to bless and anoint this ability to help others come to understand the significance of Israel. All that he's promised, all that he said he's going to do through this ministry, all these core values that we have in Kingdom Faith. Come on, we're going to see the outworking of that. We're not going to just hold on to them as core values. We're going to see the outworking of these things in practice. Hallelujah. Let us throw off everything that hinders. Just ask the Lord to show you in these coming days, is there anything that's hindering me, Lord? May not be intrinsically sinful, but it's just not helpful. It's hindering me. It's distracting me. It's taking up my focus, attention, maybe taking up finances too, but whatever. If there's any sin that entangles you, yeah, come on, throw that off. You don't want any sin entangling you, do you? Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can throw these things off. We can throw them off. We don't have to say, oh, Lord, you remove them. No, we have to throw them off. Let us throw them off. Just have done with them. That's it. No more. Hallelujah. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing of your Spirit upon every one of us. Thank you that we're running this race, not in our own strength, but in the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, we can persevere. Even when things get sticky, even when they seem difficult, even when there's challenges, we can persevere in faith, knowing that you will carry us through, knowing that you will meet the need, knowing that you will absolutely, completely transform the situation. O papara sandaria lero bakala sita di san. You know, he's the God of abundant grace, abundant mercy, abundant love. Everything about God is abundant. Everything about him is abundant. So thank you, Lord. I'm living in your abundance. Thank you, Lord. My faith is in your abundance. Thank you that you're not a God who just metes out what I need and says, you get by on that. But you're the God of abundance. Absolute abundance. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Yeah, I said to Matt and Sarah as they begin this new challenge in their life, I said, just remember, he's the God of abundance. Don't look to him just to supply what you need to get by. But believe in his abundance. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My eyes are fixed on you. Hallelujah. Some of you, I'm sure, will have heard of George Muller, who in the, I think it was early 1800s, around there sometime, had these big orphanages in Bristol. Entirely by faith. And sometimes there was no food to feed these. I mean, there were hundreds of these orphans. I can't remember exactly how many, but they were in the hundreds. And you can still see these vast orphanages on the hill just outside Bristol. And sometimes he would have all these kids sitting in their places at the table, empty plates before them, praying. Waiting. And then a baker's van would draw up, or something would draw up, or God would just send the food. And the provision was always there. He had them looking to Jesus. If you've ever never read about him, it's good, or read some of the stuff he wrote about faith, great stuff. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Oh, mighty God, mighty God. Papara sandalia leto bakala sandalia leto bakala sitri sandam. Oh, papara sandalia leto bakala sitri sandam. Bastakalaria leto bakala sitri sandalia leto bakala sitri sandam. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this timely reminder of all these lettuces. And Lord, we just want to be really in that place where you want us to be, ready to receive these students. But not just for that, Lord, but because you want us in the right place with you. But we want the students, we want everybody in the whole of Kingdom Faith to be in this right place with you. And we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Can we just pray in the spirit for a moment? Papa Karasaria leto bakala sitam. Basta galaria leto bakala sitri santam. O papara sandaria leto bakala sitri santam. O papara sandaria leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala sitam. O papara sandaria leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala sitam. O papa karasandaria leto bakala sitri santam. O papara sandaria lero bakala sitri sandaria lero. O papara sandaria lero bakala sitri sandaria lero bakala sitri sandaria. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. That the one who called us is faithful. Thank you that you never fail us. Thank you, Lord, that you allow us to go through times of challenge in order to do something deeper in us. You use every opportunity to further the work of your Spirit, to further that dependence upon you. So we thank you, Lord, we praise you, and we bless you. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to see your abundance. This is the word God's just speaking to me. We're going to see your abundance, not just financially, but we're going to see your abundance in every way. Abundant blessing, abundant provision, abundant multiplication. Just people being blessed abundantly. Oh, praise your wonderful name. Bless your wonderful name, Lord. We exalt you, we glorify you. We praise you. Come on, let's just finish by thanking the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Lord. Just thank him that you're free from anything that hinders. You're free from all sin. That nothing will entangle you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your abundant grace. Thank you that you lavish your grace upon us. We bless your wonderful and your holy name. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.